Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, for the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, and whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, may the words in my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration within all of our hearts and thoughts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we are about to wind up our summer study of A Life Worth Living. Those of you who have been working in this through your Sunday school class, today's topic, chapter 8, was new resources. Just to kind of catch us up where we are and what we're doing, we are studying Paul's letter to the Philippians. This is a letter that Paul writes in response to a letter that he has received from an emissary of that congregation. He is in prison in the city of Ephesus in Asia Minor. The Philippian church in the town of Philippi is in Macedonia in northern Greece. It's across the Aegean Sea. This emissary has come to him in ill health and is staying there to have his health restored in the presence of Paul. But not only did he bring a letter from the church, but he also brought a care package to aid and to help Paul in his imprisonment. Probably food and especially money and provisions to help him in his imprisonment. And so he is quite delighted and very, very overjoyed with this gift. And yet he's also concerned because the letter that this emissary brought revealed to him that things were not all that happy in the Philippi church. There was some dissensions going on within the church. There was a struggle going on, and perhaps sides were being taken. And just everything was just not copacetic in the Philippian church. It really is what the letter is all about. The letter is really all about how to live together in a community of faith as best you can. It is kind of amazing, isn't it? Here we are, a group of individuals. Each of us have our own personal histories. We have our own personal tastes. We have our own personal ways that we have been brought up. If we go around the room, we probably have various different church experiences in our life. Some of you may have been a part of a church that had some serious internal struggles before, and it was not pleasant. I know of folks that have left the church altogether because of some kind of internal struggle within a congregation, and they never came back to church. It was so intense. And here we are, a group of folks, and it's trying to hold it together. Giving, taking, compromising. This is what's going on in the church in Philippi. And now it's time for Paul to name names. That's always a scary thought, isn't it? Is the preacher going to name names? I'm trying to remember, but I don't think I have ever publicly named names in a worship service. Can't say that it'll never happen, but I don't think it's ever happened. But Paul is now naming names. I'm urging Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Help these women, he says. Now, we don't know what the issue was. We don't know what got these two in contention. It might have had to do with the color of the carpet in the sanctuary. It might have had to do with something that happened at a potluck dinner. One of them may have felt slighted or snubbed or ignored or neglected or somehow maybe they weren't elected to the right committee, or maybe they weren't, who knows? Of course, it could have been more serious. We don't know. In my experience in the years of church life, for the most part, most church stuff starts out pretty petty and just seems to grow. Get worse, kind of. If it doesn't get taken care of, it kind of just. Ugh. But this is the issue that Paul has with this church, and he's trying his best throughout this letter to help the congregation be of one mind, to help them resolve this conflict. And so we go back into the letter, and we hear what he's trying to say to this whole church, not just these two. He has said before in the letter, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation from love, if there's any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, please make my joy complete. Encourage one another. Console one another in the love of God. Know that you are bound together uniquely by the Spirit of God in this community of faith. Celebrate your life together in the Spirit of God, and out of that compassion will flow. And a sense of sympathy, a sense of feeling together one with another so that you understand one another and the depths of each other's heart, so that your joy, my joy, will be complete. Be of the same mind, he continues to say over and over in the letter. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, being of one mind. It goes on to say, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in all humility regard others better than yourselves. Live the golden rule, he says, in all your relationships. Yes, it's easier said than done. What he wants the church to be is the mind of Christ. Let the same mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to quote an ancient poem of the church. Have this mind which is yours in Christ Jesus, that though Jesus Christ was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited or grasped, but he emptied himself of this godness and became a human being like you and me. And being found in human form, he was obedient like you and me. Obedient even to death. Death on a cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. He's calling all of us, even to this day, Stone Bridge United Methodist Church, to seek, to be intentional about, to work towards and for, to study, to share together, to care for one another, to work with one another, so that somehow, some way, we all may grow into the mind of Christ together. Easier said than done. How do we do it? It takes an intentional prayer life, I would submit to you. And what I mean by this is not just some simple little cursory kind of prayer of the moment. It's having intentional time between you and God, wrapped in God's Spirit, with this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's a prayer of self-examination. I submit to you that that's something each and every one of us need and must do on a regular basis to keep our faith strong, intact. Oh Lord, help me to take the log out of my own eye before I try to take the speck out of my neighbor's. It's not saying that we don't try to take the speck out of our neighbors when it's necessary and needed. What it is saying is stop. Take the log out of your own eye first before you make judgments. Judge yourself before you judge another. And another thought, go to the balcony. This is the idea that particularly in times of making decisions or times when we find ourselves in tension with someone else or relationship with the church or anyone, we go to the balcony. We go up to the balcony and we look down upon the whole full stage. And we see all of the players and we see the full context and we seek to understand the complete sense of what's going on before we make a judgment, to see the big picture. One of my favorite stories related to this is a story I heard many years ago by a storyteller from Seattle. His name was Pleasant Despain. He tells a story about Old Joe. Old Joe was a farmer out in the countryside, and for many, many years, Old Joe and his neighbor lived together in adjacent properties. And they farmed together, they shared equipment, they shared their life together, their children grew up together. As the years passed on, the spouses had passed away, the children had grown up and moved away, and it was just Old Joe and his neighbor. One day, Old Joe discovers that one of his brand new calves was found on his neighbor's property, and he goes over to get it. But before he could get it, his neighbor comes out of the house, puts a rope around the calf, and says, "This is mine, Joe." Joe says, "No, that's my calf. It's got the same markings as my best cow." "No, Joe, this is my calf. It's on my property." And so began, after 40 years of friendship, this rift starts to fester between these two. They both go back to their houses and they don't speak. Weeks go by. without any kind of reconciliation whatsoever. And it, as the weeks go by, just the anger continues to build. One morning, there's a knock on old Joe's door. And he goes to it, he opens the door, and there's this kind of bedraggled, wayfaring stranger. He's carrying a tool bag over his shoulder, and he says, "I'm just passing through. I'm a bit of a carpenter, and I can do a lot of handiwork things. And if you've got some work for me to do, I would love to do some work for a meal." So old Joe thinks about it, and he says, "Well, come on in. Let's see if we can come up with something." And so old Joe fixed breakfast. He's ham and eggs, homemade bread, and fresh churned butter, and fresh jam, talking about ideas. Finally, old Joe says, "I know exactly what I want you to do. Come out here." So they go outside, and he says, "You see this creek? This creek was not here last week. It is my neighbor. My neighbor gets a plow on his tractor, and he dredges this furrow in this creek up from the upper pond straight across between our properties. That creek was not there last week. My neighbor did that just to spite me, to separate our properties. So this is what I want you to do. I've got enough lumber and enough nails in the barn for you to build a fence. I want you to go and get that stuff, and I want you to start building a fence as high as you can make it along that creek so I don't have to look at his land." So the stranger thinks a minute and says, "Okay, Joe, I'll do you a good job." Old Joe says, "Well, now I'm heading into town. I've got to go get some supplies. I'll be back later in the afternoon to see how you're doing." So old Joe takes off. And the stranger goes to the barn, gets all the supplies he needs, all the wood and all the nails, and he begins to work. He measures, saws, hammers, nails, works all day, even through lunch, working. Finally, late in the day, old Joe comes back. And he's anticipating on seeing what this strange carpenter has produced. And so he gets there, and he, as soon as he sees it, his jaw drops, and he's kind of amazed. It wasn't a fence. It was a bridge. And just then he sees his neighbor coming over the bridge with this calf. And he says, "Old Joe, I can't believe what you just did." He says, "I'm just so sorry. I just got caught in spite of myself. This is your calf, and I'm so sorry. And more than anything else, I want us to be friends." And old Joe said, "You know, that's all I want to, is just for us to be friends." And so they're reconciling in there, you know, they're just glad to be back together and life is good again. And while they're all talking, stranger puts his tools back in his bag, puts it over his shoulder, and he's taken off. Old Joe sees him, turns around and says, wait, you don't need to go, stay. Between the two of us, we can keep you working for weeks." And the stranger says, "Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that, but I really need to go." And old Joe says, "No, you don't need to go." Stranger says, "Yeah, Joe, I really need to go. You see, I've got other bridges to build." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. For the life of me, I think the people of Stone Bridge United Methodist Church need to be bridge builders in all we do. How do we do that? Where is the source? The source comes from our faith in Christ Jesus. Paul gives us this admonishment. Beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, if there is anything that's worthy of praise, these are the things you think about. And the more you think on these things, the closer we are to the mind of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.